Earl.
Thank you very much.
Chairman, I've got to call Sheriff Daniels.
All right. Thank you. We'll get Sheriff Daniels on the phone. I believe that'll give us 8 then.
Yes.
Where's the former chief of the year? I don't know.
Hello, Mark.
I don't know.
Hey, Sheriff, you're on.
All righty. Good morning.
Good morning, morning Sheriff. All right.
Good morning.
Good morning, Director. Mr. Chairman. Matt Giordano, Director of Arizona Post. Thank you, everyone, for being here this morning. Just a few things to announce. Today we'll be missing Chief Alan Rodbell, Chief Larry Hall, public member Rich Wooten. We also have 2 vacancies. We still have a public member vacancy as well as our jail commander vacancy. But with 8 members, we do have a quorum. There's a couple things we're going to table. We're going to table final action case 17-051 for Matthew Hedrick until next month. And then on your consent agenda items on number 5, training audit deficiencies, we're going to be removing Phoenix firefighter Donald Yona, Scott Kalkbrenner, Troy Kasky, Timothy Clement, and Anthony Benitez. They have all resolved their deficiencies. And those are all my announcements.
Okay, no other presentations, introductions, or anything. We'll move on to the consent agenda, which calls for a motion. I'm sure you've all had a chance to go over it, and with that, I would ask a motion to approve.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the consent agenda as amended.
Frank Milstead, second.
Thank you very much, and we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. And we will move into the next executive director's report.
All right, good morning again. Just a few things to report this month. I think Jack Lane previously discussed the issues with the roof. If you've walked around, you've seen some of the issues from the leaking roof. Over the last week and a half, the roofing company's been working on that. There's about another week and a half to 2 weeks of work yet to be completed, but when that's done, I'm told we'll have a 15-year guarantee that the roof will not leak. So that for us is very exciting. We're also, a few things I've been doing is last week I met with the ADOA at the state, reference our IT manager position. As you all know, about 8 months or so ago, our IT manager left, and the vacancy has not been filled. And I met with them last week to discuss possible efficiencies by moving some of our IT demands over to the state at a contract price, and they're working on a proposal for me now. I'm looking just for some more efficiencies while saving some additional financial dollars. Last week, I attended the Pinal County Law Enforcement Association meeting in Coolidge. It was a really good meeting of all the law enforcement leaders in Pinal County. A lot of good information sharing, a lot of good ideas were discussed, reference academy attendance, and they had a lot of good input, reference some of the things we've been doing around the state with them. This weekend, I am heading to Window Rock for a meeting with Chief Francisco of the Navajo Nation Department of Public Safety, reference their academy and their current status. We just have some things we need to discuss, and they invited me up for a meeting on Monday morning. So I'll be able to report back to the board next month on how that meeting goes.
Great.
And then the other reference to the building, we're having some issues with our electrical panels. Obviously, you know it's an old building. Right. So we were recently notified that we have some significant issues with our electrical panels, and the next month or so we'll be having all of those replaced, which will make it a safer facility. That's all I have as far as my director's report. There's no current legislative updates to provide at this time. And the only other thing I'd like to talk about is for current events is I sat in yesterday with Steve Entman, our training supervisor, as he met with the subject matter experts for our general instructor class. A couple weeks ago, I sat in for our driving general subject matter experts, and tomorrow he's bringing 2 more groups in. So what he's doing is he's reaching out statewide to all of our subject matter experts to get them together, get them back all on the same page, and make any necessary changes to our curriculum, and then devise moving forward how we make our training systems better around the state.
Right.
Any questions for me?
Comments, questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
If I might, just a few minutes. So just a quick update is, if the board will remember, last session this legislature passed House Bill 2313, which amended the CJEF formula. It pulled the Victims Compensation and Assistance Fund and the Attorney General's Victims Rights Fund out of the CJEF funding formula and provided its own funding mechanism, shrunk the amount of money going into the CJEF fund from 47% to 42%, and then adjusted everybody else's percentages of what they receive in order, in essence, to hopefully hold everybody harmless. I'll make sure ACJC works with the director to, we want to start monitoring that. That goes into effect January the 1st to make sure that we don't see any wild fluctuations in CJEF funding that may impact posts. Funding as well as a lot of other agencies. We as an entity have had a working group looking at CJEF funding that former Director Lane sat on, and if we meet again, we'll make sure we get you plugged into that. But we did have a meeting with the Governor's Office of Strategic Planning and Budgeting about our concerns and possible solutions, and while we didn't get any clear direction on whether the Governor would or would not support that, we took that as a move forward. We're going to begin having conversations with members of the legislature to see if we can get any agreement on introducing something that may add additional funding into CJEF, which would be welcome to all agencies that receive their funding that way.
Thank you for the update.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments for the director?
You know, I'd like to bring something up. It's Frank Milstead for the record. Just because it's I'm in a little bit of a merry-go-round right now with some hiring and things that are going on, but I'd mentioned it to Director Giordano prior to the meeting, and I'd like to mention it in the open meeting and see what kind of support the board has for this idea. But I would really like us to go back and review our policies at AZ Post on drug use. Any use of marijuana within 3 years, you can't get hired. I think it's more than five uses after the age of 21, you can't get hired. Using prescription medication that belonged to a relative or a loved one, the use of Adderall, the use of steroids, and what those parameters are. I think I would just tell you that I'm getting a lot of problems with the way the world is evolving and changing. And again, I don't think it's about lowering standards. I think it's just about modernizing the standards and looking at what we do. And I would like the board to consider that idea. And then I also think it's undetected crimes. The fact that something that somebody did as a youth that was undetected, we're waiting 7 years, even though they'll never be prosecuted or filed, but just because that's the statute of limitations. I think we ought to look at that. So we're not eliminating so many people so quickly in the process. I believe there is actually some value in people who have some life experience, who may have gone through the school of hard knocks as they were growing up, and having a chance to be involved in this profession, especially when it's an anomaly in their life or it's not a excessive numbers of drug uses. But I just will tell you that I am concerned that we're not moving along with the way the world has moved along, especially with some of the drug uses, and I just leave it at that.
Okay, well, I would say it's definitely something that the board should be talking about and thinking about. This isn't the first time I've heard that.
Sheriff Masher, it seems like you're getting more into a discussion now.
Okay.
The way it was brought up, it's kind of appropriate for a future agenda item.
Well, that's
for that
where
discussion
I was going,
to go.
Is to put this on a future agenda item for some type of action.
Okay.
So that would be my recommendation, is to take a look at that for a future agenda item for discussion. And in the meantime, just take it into consideration for your thoughts and comments when we have that discussion.
Yeah, I'd like him to think about it. And I think the agenda item would be somewhere down the road. I would recommend that we agendize the idea of putting together a board or a commission to review that. And I would think that it probably needs to be something that comes out of AZ Post, and that commission or that board consists of not only leadership, but also rank and file, and whether it's union or association membership as well.
Okay, very good.
We'll start working on.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, sir.
It might be helpful, too, to see what other states are doing in this area. I'm assuming they're struggling with the same issues.
Yeah.
To see if they've modified or changed their requirements.
Absolutely. So when we look into this, we'll be checking around with other states and agencies. And I know the federal hiring process has changed some as well.
Okay. Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Any other comments for Director Giordano? All right, we are going to be moving on to a report from the Arizona Department of Corrections.
Mr. Chairman and Board, I'm happy to report over the period of October 10th through November 12th, our Correctional Officer Training Academy has graduated a total of 62 of 74 cadets that we have put through the academy. Of those 74 that started, leaving the 62, nine cadets resigned and seven were recycled in. 10 recycled out and none were dismissed. Currently, five classes are in session with 140 cadets attending the academy today. Unfortunately, our vacancy rate continues to grow. We have 1,056 vacant correctional officer positions, making up 15.87% of our total allotment of correctional professionals with the department, those authorized FTEs. The attrition rate for ADC fiscal year 19 is 8.48%. We've had no cadets participate in the waiver program to date for the fiscal year, and we have assisted six county and tribal detention agencies to graduate six cadets. Those locations consist of the Salt River, Santa Cruz, and Casa Grande Police Departments.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, sir.
Appreciate it. Any comments? Questions?
Chairman Masher, just so we can be clear, can we have just identify who was just speaking so it's clear for the audio record?
Thank you for that. My name's Joe Profiri, Deputy Director for the Arizona Department of Corrections on behalf of Director Charles Ryan.
Thank you, Mr. Hargraves. And I think with that, we're going to move into final action cases. Mr. Hargraves, I believe, will be handling case number 18-075.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Masher, members of the board. Seth Hargraves, Assistant Attorney General, standing in for Mark Perkovich, discussing the case involving Colossal Ray. The board initiated on this matter back in August of this year. Mr. Ray did not respond to the complaint that went out. Mr. Ray is a former Chicago police officer who applied with the Arizona Department of Transportation. During his new hire audits, there were discrepancies noted in his application and information that came out in the background investigation. On his AZ Post Statement of Personal History form, he did not list his current employer where he was working as at that time as a police officer. He indicated that he had not had any discipline for improper conduct as a peace officer when, in fact, he had received a five-day suspension and two reprimands. He failed to disclose the other Arizona agencies that he had applied with. During a background investigation, he stated he received a suspension for refusing to dismiss a ticket when, in fact, it was for making a false report during an internal investigation, writing false tickets, and leaving a duty assignment without authorization, bringing discredit upon the Chicago Police Department. Also, during the background investigation, he denied that the internal investigation had been conducted by Chicago PD in reference to writing false tickets. During his psychological evaluation, he stated his suspension for a parking ticket he wrote and reprimand for not having a city sticker on his vehicle when, in fact, it was suspension for making a false report in his internal investigation and writing false tickets. In a follow-up interview, he denied that he was ever disciplined or for misconduct. In past similar cases to this, the board has recommended denial of certification. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Comments, questions for Mr. Hargraves?
Question, Frank Elstead. How long did he work at Chicago? I'm not seeing that here.
Mike?
I believe he retired from there for 20 years.
Okay.
Wow.
Thank you. Any other questions, comments? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Frank Nelson to make a motion that we deny his certification as a peace officer in the state of Arizona.
You know, can you also take action on the findings and conclusions as well, please?
And that we support the findings and facts and conclusion of law.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Chris Pittman, second.
I have a second. Is there further discussion on the motion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Thank you very much, Mr. Hargraves.
Thank you.
Moving into the new cases. Mr. Caldwell, good morning, sir. And we are on 18097.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one-year compliance specialist. This case involves former Officer Butel of the Mesa Police Department. In January 2018, a female told an acquaintance in some detail about how her boyfriend, Officer Butel, had abused and physically assaulted her. This acquaintance was an Apache Junction police detective who notified his chain of command, and they in turn notified Mesa PD. Butel's girlfriend declined to cooperate with Mesa PD IA other than to deny domestic violence occurred in her relationship and that any injuries she received during the relationship were her fault. She did say that on one occasion while trying to keep Officer Butel from leaving during an argument, she injured her nose after she, quote, hit the wall, unquote, and fell down. Officer Butel was interviewed twice by Mesa IA detectives. His behavior during the first interview was described as erratic. In the second interview, he stated that in early 2018, his girlfriend struck him in the face while attempting to prevent him from leaving during an argument. In response, he pushed her away from him and she fell to the floor. He said there was no one injured during this incident and there was no police involvement. Officer Butel denied ever assaulting or abusing his girlfriend, and Mesa closed the case after they could not corroborate the allegations against Butel. I'd be glad to answer any questions that y'all might have about this case.
Comments or questions? Having none, may I have a motion?
Frank Milstead, I would leave this up to agency discretion.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Chris Pittman, I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Having none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
And the motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Caldwell.
Thank you,
we'll
Mr.
be moving
Chairman.
On to the next case, 18121. Ms. Heckel.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. On August 28, 2018, former Tucson police officer Alicia Vilducea was off duty. She was contacted by a Tucson police officer as she was seated in the driver's seat of her motor vehicle, which was stopped in a left-hand turn lane. She appeared to be slumped over the wheel of her vehicle and was unresponsive to the traffic light signal. A DUI investigation was conducted. Her preliminary breath test was 0.173 BAC at 2:56 a.m. She agreed to further breath tests. The next one was 0.199 at 3:15 a.m., and the next one was a 0.201 BAC at 3:21 a.m. She was cited and released for extreme DUI. As of October 18, 2018, a pretrial conference for her criminal charges has been rescheduled until November 28, 2018. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Comments or questions for Ms. Heckel?
Another question. Frank Mills said, what have we done with these in the past? And I honestly don't know exactly where we are in the DUI situation with the board.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but if we get into aggravating factors or extremes, I think the board will correct. Look at taking some action. But anything correct. Less than that, I believe we're going back to the agencies.
So okay.
The aggravating circumstance here was the extreme.
Okay, mm-hmm. Got it. Thank you.
May I have a motion, please, if there are no further questions or comments?
Paul Ehler, I make a motion that we initiate proceedings.
Andy LaFever, second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ms. Heckel, thank you.
Mr.
Jacobs, 18-122. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. Excuse me. First case involves the former La Paz County Sheriff's Deputy, Wilfredo Garcia, who made application as a lateral officer to the Court Site Police Department. And during that background investigation, It was disclosed that he had a history of selling marijuana, something that he had not disclosed on his application with the La Paz County Sheriff's Office. Are there any questions?
No questions, comments. Motion, please.
Frank Milstead, I move that we initiate proceedings.
Motion, is there a second?
Matt Medina, I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, you're up again with 18-125.
Yes, this involves a former Lake Havasu City police officer, Brad Jacobs. No relation.
That's good.
That it was discovered through a complaint from his estranged girlfriend that on several occasions he had accessed, using his home personal computer, had accessed the department's body cam video file and had allowed her to view body cam or video, which was a violation of department policy. When he was initially questioned about this, he admitted to having accessed these files while off duty and from his personal computer, but related that he had done so to be able to go in and label the files. They did a forensic analysis of the files that had been viewed and found out that that was not the case, that he had labeled the files at the time that they were submitted into the database, and that the files, when they were opened from his personal computer, had been viewed in full. Also, the complainant on this matter was able to describe the videos in such detail that it corroborated the fact that she had viewed them. Are there any questions?
Comments or questions? Having none, may I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy LaFever. I move to initiate proceedings.
Frank Milstead, second.
Motion and a second. Any other discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? And the motion carries. Mr. Jacobs, 18-127.
Yes, involves a former, or excuse me, a current Parker police officer, Brian McAfee. This case involves on-duty sexual relations that occurred during calendar year 2017 and 2018 with a fellow city employee. This was self-reported by the officer. This officer went to his supervisor and made him aware that this conduct had occurred, and it was investigated, and he was disciplined internally with a suspension. This came to our attention from an anonymous complaint alleging that the police chief violated our rules by not reporting this to us, and which was not the case. The report would have only been required upon termination of the individual certification. Are there any questions?
No questions. May I have a motion, please?
Frank Milstead, agency discretion.
Matt Medina, I'll second that.
Motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Aye.
Mr. Jacobs, thank you very much. Mr. O'Rose, good morning, sir. We are on 18-119.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Mike O'Rose, a compliance specialist here at Post. On August 23, 2018, while conducting a new hire audit at the Surprise Police Department on Michael Mishner, I discovered several discrepancies with the information that Mishner had provided during the hiring process with Surprise PD. I also learned that Mishner had previously applied with the Arizona Game and Fish Department and the Glendale Police Department. While reviewing the documentation from all three agencies, it was discovered that Mishner was less than truthful in several areas. The first area was related to his drug usage. On the Arizona Post statement of personal history and application for certification, the dates that Mishler listed for dates of his first use of marijuana and his last use of marijuana were different on all three agency applications. None of the dates matched up. And it should be noted that Mishler had he used the dates of his last usage for marijuana that he used for either Glendale PD or Surprise PD on his Arizona Game and Fish application, he would not have been eligible to apply due to the 3-year window that they got to wait. Also, the number of marijuana usages that Mishler listed on the Arizona Game and Fish Department application was different than the number of uses that he listed with Glendale Police Department and Surprise Police Department. Second, relating to Mishner's answers to other questions during the hiring applications and interviews, Mishler was less than truthful with his answers to the questions on the Arizona Post personal history and application for certification relating to criminal conduct in the following areas. Have you ever committed a felony? And his unlawful sexual conduct. Mishler was also less than truthful with the information that he provided to several questions on the Surprise Police Department's background interview questionnaire. Untruthfulness came out. He took two polygraph examinations with Surprise Police Department. And during the pre- and post-polygraph interviews, Mishler admitted to information that showed that he was less than truthful with the information that he provided during the hiring process. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
So where is the chief on this? I see that he's still employed. Do you is there some, because this looks pretty egregious, but it looks like he's still working there.
We just received a termination report on him.
Okay.
I think they were keeping him on board to see what the board was going to do, but we just did receive a termination report.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? And I have a motion. Paul Ehler, I'll make a motion that we initiate proceedings.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Joe Perfiri, I'll second.
I have a motion and a second. Discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank Mr. O'Rose. And we are moving on to Ms. Waite. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
18-049.
Yes, sir. Good morning. Lori Waite, one of your compliance specialists. This is on former Officer Sanchez Beltran of the Arizona Department of Public Safety. On or about January 2017, last year, he began an intimate relationship with Ms. VP while he was married to his wife of 9 years. In May of last year, while he was a recruit at the Arizona Law Enforcement Academy, he moved into his girlfriend's residence and began staying with her on a nightly basis instead of staying in recruit housing in Phoenix. These facts were not known to his wife nor his agency at the time. Sanchez Beltran led his girlfriend to believe that he was in the process of a separation and divorce. Near the end of July 2017, the girlfriend found out that he was texting his wife and other girls at the same time he was living with her, so this culminated in an argument where she asked him to move out of the residence in early August 2017. He complied. But shortly after leaving the residence that evening, he returned and he engaged in a physical confrontation with Ms. VP. When she refused to kiss him, he grabbed her around the throat, pushed her up against a wall, and attempted to kiss her. This act of domestic violence took place in front of two of her three daughters that were in the residence at the time. About 9 days later, he was still trying to reconcile with her. She refused, and so he became upset. He sent a picture of himself holding a handgun to his left cheek through her Facebook Messenger application, threatening to commit suicide. Within a week's time period, he drove to her house twice while he was off duty in his uniform and his marked patrol car in an attempt to reconcile with her. So all of this behavior culminated in her getting an order of protection. She eventually reported these incidents to the Prescott Valley Police Department. They started a criminal investigation. As part of that investigation, Sanchez Beltran invoked his rights. He did not participate in the criminal interview, and he was charged with one count of domestic violence assault, three counts of domestic violence disorderly conduct. He was terminated from DPS in February of this year for misuse of state property using his patrol car while off duty and conduct adverse. In June of this year, he entered into a pretrial diversion program where he completed 10 sessions of domestic violence counseling, paid fines totaling over $3,000, and his criminal case was dismissed in September of this year. He denied participating in the administrative interview, referenced the domestic violence assault with DPS. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I'll recuse myself. Is
attend that.
I believe so, with Sheriff Daniels on the line. So if there are no questions, comments, may I have a motion, please?
Mr. Chairman, this is Andy Lefevre. I move to initiate proceedings.
I have a motion. Is there a second?
Sheriff Mark Daniels, second.
Sheriff Daniels, second. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Ms. Waite. And with that, it takes us to a call to public. If there's anyone who'd like to speak for no more than 3 or 5 minutes, please. Having none, then we will move to any future agenda items. Mr. Giordano.
The only thing we would put on there, sir, is the review of standards of drug use that we discussed earlier. We'll begin working on that.
Thank you very much for that. Oh, yes.
I could, for Director Giordano, I believe you would have to change administrative rules if we make changes. Could you please also, for the board, as part of that discussion, that's a formal process that has to go before, I would assume, the governor's office of regulatory review. So that's a very detailed process. So if you could also provide whatever the timeline is to do that, because I know most rules have to be reviewed every 5 years, and if it's out of that 5-year time frame, you have to seek an exemption to do them at a different time and whatnot. So just so the board has a clear understanding of the timing and process to do.
Sure, it's something we actually have begun. Okay. We were requested by Chief Rodbell several months ago to look at marijuana usage, so we've already started collecting data from the surrounding states, and we'll continue to do that. And then, again, it's at the direction of the board, we'll meet with other stakeholders, and we should be able to provide a timeline. But it is a lengthy process.
Thank you, sir. Any other comments or questions? With that, this meeting is adjourned. Thank you all very much.
That is a record.
New record.
Yeah.